So may the words of Scripture just proclaimed to all of you turn into a beautiful melody in each of your hearts. What are, perhaps, this is a rhetorical question because we're not allowed to speak out loud except for me right now. What are the two or three most common things that you think each of you does during the day? Think about it in your own mind. In terms of the hours put in, spent doing it. Well, as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, sleeping, most of us who are fortunate to be able to sleep, you know, spend 7-8 hours a day sleeping. That's a lot of time. When did you last hear a homily on sleeping? It's worth a homily, don't you think? If we spend so much time on it, maybe we ought to have a homily on sleeping one of these days. Another thing I'll bet you do a lot is you listen to television or radio, and you check your phone, your cell phone. Now, I've seen statistics which say that the average adult, this with these statistics now are about 2 years old, so it may have gone up, but the average adult checks their cell phone about 120 times a day. And for teenagers, it's off the chart, off the charts. And that's got to affect, of course, the way our brain works. So that would be another very common thing that we do. That deserves a homily. And then I would say the third thing we do that is up there is work. We spend a lot of time working. And even if you're not employed, you still work. There's a distinction between being employed and working. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit. So it seems to me working is something. When was the last time you heard a homily on working? Have you ever heard a homily on working? Put your hand up if you have. Some of you have heard a homily. It wasn't given by me, was it? Good. But homily is again. Now, of course, people don't usually remember homilies. I can't remember any homily I've ever heard, to tell you the truth. I hate to say it. Or you're like that. Most people remember other things about church than homilies, but nonetheless. So I'd like to say a few things. Offer. Excuse me. I forgot to take my allergy pill this morning. I'd like to say a few things about work and labor. These are just some thoughts that come to mind. There's a kind of order to them in a way. You know, when you start thinking about work and labor, it's really complicated, and it really opens up into all sorts of interesting, fascinating topics. But the first thing I'd like to talk about, I'd like to use the phrase perspiration and inspiration. Work is certainly perspiration. We think of the body and sweat, what we put into work. Even if we're white-collar workers, most of you here are retired people, so you're not so much in the fields anymore. A few of you are, I know, from your wonderful occupations that you're engaged in. But there's still perspiration involved. And then we also hope in our work that there's inspiration, that our work lifts us up and we enjoy our work, we look forward to it, so on. If the perspiration quotient gets too high and the inspiration quotient gets too low, then something is wrong. It's like drudgery. It's like, you know, that old story, you know, that old thing. The person says, you know, I always give 100% at my work. I give 10% on Monday, 23% on Tuesday, 40% on Wednesday, 22% on Thursday, and 5% on Friday. That sort of adds up to 100. So that's where, you know, that's the kind of idea where, you know, work has kind of become drudgery. It's become perspiration, and there isn't all that much inspiration kind of thing. And we, you know, so from a Christian perspective, from our religious spiritual perspective, work has to somehow reflect the dignity of the human person made in the image and likeness of God. And so a person should feel that sense of dignity in their work, no matter what it is. And that dignity should be recognized. And also, as our colleague today for Labor Day said, you know, we are connected with others in the epistle about loving one another from St. Paul. So our work makes a contribution. We're not just in, if we're just working just for ourselves, we don't give a darn about the other person. That so-called transactional mentality. You know, what's in it for me? I don't care about the rest of you. If that's our mentality, that's not Christian. That's not a Christian understanding of work. And so, again, that's the dimension. Now, we Christians believe that, you know, we're not perfect and we are kind of marred by sinful tendencies. That's not the main story about us, I hope, but that's part of it. So, sin's going to get in there in our work. Sin's going to get in there. And we have to expect that. And I would say from a Christian perspective, I hate to use this word, but we have to be realistic. This is not heaven. So there's going to be a certain element of the bad in our work. But from a Christian perspective, there is this element of grace. We're not in this alone. There is that grace that can help us to rise above our worst tendencies. And so when we want to kind of get real transactional and just use people for our own ends, that's a temptation always. Remember, there's always that grace that can help us through it. Now, for some people, it's a lot tougher than for others because of their social circumstances. We like to say everybody has to have an equal playing field, but everybody doesn't have an equal playing field. And everybody hasn't had an equal playing field for hundreds of years in this country. So, you know, yes, we want everybody to have an equal, but they don't always have it. So we have to understand that, and we have to assist them. Those are some of the ingredients of a Christian view of work, so that the perspiration quotient and the inspiration quotient are in a good combination. So as people are working, they can sense the dignity of what they do and receive the respect which is their due and the wage which is their due and the help which is their due and the correction that sometimes they need for the things they don't do right, done in love, as today's gospel tries to indicate to us. Now, let me just finish with some comments about the distinction. I hit upon this just as I was thinking about this. The distinction between employment and work. Now, of course, and we have the problem today as well. Unemployment, of course, is rising. And I just heard the statistics this morning. They're increasing. So, naturally, it's a very difficult time. It's a pandemic. So unemployment is on the rise. What's that old thing from Harry Truman, you know? We call it a recession when our neighbors are out of work. And we call it a depression when we're out of work. You know, so if ever you've been out of employment, you know how difficult that can be. So in a certain sense, sometimes we are out of employment. Many people more than, I mean, it's really horrible right now what's going on in the country, really throughout the world, the problem of unemployment. But I'd like to make this distinction between being employed and working. We can be unemployed, sadly, but that doesn't mean we're out of work or need be out of work. St. Benedict says in his rule, work is the friend of the soul. He doesn't actually put it that way, but it's kind of a paraphrase. He says, the way he puts it in the Rule of St. Benedict, he says, idleness is an enemy to the soul. Otsiositas, inimica est anime. Idleness is an enemy to the soul. But if you were to turn that around in a very free translation, you could say, as Bishop Sutton was telling us the other day at our monthly webinar that Jeff and I attend, he said, you know, work is the friend of the soul. We need to work. We're bodily and we're spiritual creatures together, and we need to work. Liturgy means the work of the people. We're working here. We're at work here. We may not be, we're not employed in a way. If you want, you can say we're self-employed, but we're working. We need to work. We are meant to work. That's how we live out our lives. No matter what we're doing, there's an element of working involved, always. And if we're not working, then something is wrong with us. We're not living up to our full potential. So if we are out of employment, and if we know people who are out of employment, try to encourage them to work. To do things. And they will discover the potential that they have and support them in that. Building, craftsmanship, volunteering, whatever it might be, wherever they are, let them and honor in them the capacities they have to give glory to God. Through what they can do, through their bodies, and through their minds. Sometimes some people who are unemployed can't do too much with their bodies, but they can do a lot with their mind by befriending people, by being with them, by listening to them, by just accompanying them. These unemployed people you see going around, be with them. We need to be with them. And enjoy them. Lift their spirits so that their perspiration quotient and their inspiration quotient are nicely combined.